All right, John Talty joins us. He is a national college football writer for CBS Sports and 24/7 Sports. He's written some books. He's teamed with Armin Katayan to write his latest book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos, and chaos being the operative word. Welcome to the show. How are you, John?
Good. Appreciate you having me on today.
You bet. So what made you and Armin decide to wade into this? Because it's such a complicated, complex, deep subject matter. I've never seen anything shift in college athletics like I've seen the last year or two. What made you guys decide to go after this topic?
I think we're gluttons for punishment. We knew this was going to be a really hard book to do, and it was because of how much is going on and all the different ways that you could take it. But, you know, I think for us, it just felt like an opportunity that was just ripe for a deep dive book to, you know, not only explain kind of how we got here and where we're going, but I think it's so important to actually explain like what is actually happening within the sport on a human level. You know, I think what is it like to be a head coach in this era where guys are coming in and out of your office demanding money or they're going to leave? What's it like to be a five-star quarterback who now can get more than $1 million a year just for being a good high school football player, you know, to where you want to go? That would not have been possible, you know, 5 years ago. And so I think there's a lot that we see from the outside that says, all right, feels chaotic. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. But, like, we wanted to take you deep inside that, take you to places that, you know, maybe the average person or average fan can't be, and show you, you know, what it's really like, what it means, or what it was like for, you know, to be an Alabama football player and Nick Saban walks into the team meeting room and tells you he's leaving. You know, how did that impact you? How did that change you? What did you do from there? You know, those kind of insidery details that you know, you can't really find anywhere else.
Is this system of NIL set up for just one school to dominate? Could that happen if one school just gets so much resources that they can't be competed with? And I guess we kind of know that the Power Five, and maybe even particularly the top of the SEC and the Big Ten, are going to have those resources if it is close, and if all these schools kind of have a similar amount of money. What's the ultimate separator in how to become a long-term success?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's set up just for one, because, you know, in theory, anybody can spend as much as they want, you know, and I think you're seeing, you know, I had a story for 24/7 Sports the other day looking at some of the, you know, the top spenders for this season. And, you know, you've got a school like Ohio State, which has obviously a huge fan base and is, you know, very desperate to win a national championship this year after seeing what Michigan did. And then you've got another school like Oregon, which is really reliant on one person, but that guy just happens to be the person who started Nike and has a lot of money that he wants to spend to see his favorite school win. So there's always going to be rich enough people who want to kick in and give their school a shot. You know, I think what the differentiator is, you know, it's stuff that has always been a factor, right? You know, it's where is the campus? Do you feel comfortable there? Do you like the coaches? Do you feel comfortable with them? How are they going to develop you moving forward? I think some schools are still really good at selling that. Georgia is one of them where, you know, maybe we're not giving you the most upfront money, but you come to Georgia, you got a really good shot to win a national championship. And if you do what you're supposed to do, you have a really good shot to play in the NFL and make a lot of money down the line. So there's always different pitches that are not solely about the money, but if you don't have money, you don't have a shot right now. And we've definitely seen certain schools emerge from the pack that are more aggressive, have more money to play with, and are more willing to spend it.
John Talty, our guest, he has co-written a book called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. We mentioned how complex that topic is, and I applaud you guys for approaching it and writing individual stories kind of about these topics. It's really, really a great way to go about it, in my opinion. So my point has been lately, I'm looking forward to this college football season a whole lot because of all the change, especially as it pertains to those of us who live in Big 12 country. This conference is unrecognizable to what it was just a couple years ago. But I'm not sure, John, that I'll be this interested in 2 or 3 years. I'm not sure this kind of stuff, this kind of complete change has staying power. Do you understand where I'm coming from on that?
100%. And I think that's the concern right now with college football, right? Because I'm also really excited. 12-team playoff, I can't wait to see how that looks. I think it's going to open up, you know, new opportunities for schools that, you know, maybe couldn't have gotten into the 14 playoff. But, you know, maybe you can talk yourself into, hey, Kansas got a good quarterback. Maybe we can win the Big 12 and then we're in the playoff. That, I think, would be huge for the Kansas fan base to have that kind of breakthrough moment. I think the concern is there are a couple factors. I think one of them that I hear from fans that would concern me long term is, you know, we're about to kick off here on Saturday, you know, the season really starting, and they're telling me, I don't even really know who's on our team anymore. You know, I think that there's maybe not that personal attachment to the players the way it once was, because, you know, so many guys are coming and going that it's hard sometimes to, you know, this guy just got here a couple months ago, I hope he's good, but I don't really know that much about him. I don't know his story. It's harder, I think, for us to, you know, feel that attachment the way we used to when you saw maybe a guy come in as a freshman and work his way up to, you know, being a leader and captain as a senior. So that's, I think that's part of the challenge. I think the other part is, you know, the loss of rivalries along the way. You mentioned the Big 12 being almost unrecognizable. You know, we write a lot in the book about the Pac-12 imploding, and there's a loss that comes with that. You know, I went to a school that when I went there was in one conference and now it's in another, and there's an impact there. You lose games that you cared about as a fan, and you can pick up new ones and you'll pick up new rivalries. And it feels really fun early on. It feels new. It's, you know, hey, I can go on a trip. You know, if I'm a Kansas fan, like I can go on a trip to Arizona now and see our team play them or whatever it might be. But like you said, does that newness wear off in a couple of years? I think it could. And the concern would be when the newness wears off, do you still have that attachment to the sport the way you used to? And, you know, I think a lot of fans are still very excited and I am one of them, but, you know, I think that would be my long-term concern about, you know, college football losing a little bit of what makes it special along the way.
Have you begun to see a shift in the power dynamic from coaches to players now who are earning six figures, sometimes maybe even more than that? Will we ever see a pronounced shift from coaches to players in college football? And how have coaches kind of responded to all this extra money floating around? It's obviously not necessarily earmarked for them, but do they want extra perks? Are they trying to get more money because of this?
No, I don't think they're trying to get more money because of it. I think some of them would be willing to put up their own money if they could, if it meant them having better players. But, you know, coaches aren't, you know, according to the rules, at least, allowed to directly pay. But, you know, I think we've definitely seen a shift in power. I think that you could argue that players have never had more power than they do right now. Certainly have never had more leverage than they do right now, because a guy can threaten to leave at any moment and probably find a place to go and make more money. And so that makes it really hard for these coaches who for many decades had essentially all the power. You know, I'll tell you, I talked to, you know, a Power Four coach, you know, not that long ago. And this person was, you know, theorizing, it's like, one day I wouldn't be shocked if 20 or 30 of the top players essentially boycott, where they say, you know, if we don't get more money, if we don't get this, we're not going to play. And, you know, what's the coach going to do in that situation? So we're moving closer to that world now. I think there's hope that there's new, you know, guidelines and rules coming down the line. But as it stands right now, that is a thing that could happen. And some of it's already happening to small amounts. There's already some of that, if you don't give me X, I'm not going to do this, happening within college football, which, as you can imagine, frustrates those coaches quite a bit.
Final moments here with John Talty. He's co-author of a brand new book out called The Price, What It Takes to Win in College Football's Era of Chaos. Armin Katan, the other co-author of this book. And I just think every college sports fan needs a copy of this. You also wrote a book, The Leadership Secrets of Nick Saban. He's in this book as well, quite prominently. Will we have coaches like Nick Saban now in this era of college football? Will coaches want to stay around as long as he did? Ultimately, won't coaches have to be paid a little less? How's this going to shake out in that regard?
Well, there's some stuff in our book where I've talked to some people who are close to Kirby Smart, and they all say, I don't think he's going to last as long as Nick Saban did. And part of it's just the pressure that these guys are under. I think we use the money as a catch-all. Well, hey, this guy makes a lot of money, so that's part of the job. And I completely understand it. Trust me, they all make a lot more than I do. But, you know, there's a lot of pressure these guys are under. The recruiting is 24/7. You're constantly fighting to keep your roster together. You're having to beg boosters to give you money for your collective. There's just a lot of stuff that these guys don't really want to deal with. And some of them are burning out. You know, they're working every weekend, 50 weeks out of the year. And that, you know, that takes a toll on guys. And so, you know, whether guys can last the way that some of these iconic coaches and Nick Saban, you know, before him, Bobby Bowden, Joe Paterno, guys who coached into their 80s, it feels less and less likely unless we see some major changes. And, you know, the financial thing is interesting. You know, you would think based on like natural economic principles that, you know, if you all of a sudden now have to pay a massive amount of money to a new workforce, that would cause other salaries to go down. But, you know, the thing fighting back against that is a guy we read about in the book, and his name is Jimmy Sexton, and he's the ultimate agent, and he has done a great job at getting all of his clients a lot of money for the last 20-plus years. And so I can tell you right now, Jimmy Sexton will do everything in his power to make sure those coaching salaries do not go down. Maybe we see some slowing of the explosive growth rate in salaries. I know there's already been people that have theorized that maybe we won't see these massive buyouts being paid anymore because schools just can't really afford to do it. But, you know, schools throwing a lot of money away is something that seems like a tried and true method for them. So even though there might be a lot of reason for them to tighten it up and be smarter with their money, I'll just say this, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, we could talk about this all day. I'm sure you're being requested for shows like ours quite a bit because it's an incredibly fascinating topic. I appreciate you coming on with us to talk about it. John, we'll hopefully catch up soon. And congratulations on this endeavor. I'm really looking forward to really digging into the book.
Well, I so appreciate you saying that and so appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I just think, like you said, if you're a college football fan at all, fascinated about kind of where we are and, you know, also interested in some of these big names like Nick Saban and Jim Harbaugh and Kirby Smart and, you know, what happened to Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, I really think this is the book for you. So I just can't wait to hear how people, you know, are enjoying it. And I look forward to talking to you guys again soon.